we've been working through the fruits of the Spirit. And in Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 23, it says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law." Amen?
Amen.
So today we're going to look at goodness. We're going to look at goodness. And we talk about good food. I was just mentioning that, turkey and pie. And good weather. We like good weather. Like we see the sun coming through. We like that, see that sunshine coming through, especially on cold days. And we say things like, have a good day. And sometimes we say, they did a good job. But we use that word good in a lot of different ways. And when we look at the Bible, if you look up the words good and goodness in the dictionary, you'll find different categories of that word. But in the Bible, in the Greek and the Hebrew, you'll find good and goodness in the same way. In the Bible, they're varied in the ways that it's defined, you know. And the Bible has much to say, though, about goodness. There's a lot of scriptures about goodness, and I apologize to Verna this morning because I meant to send her my scriptures yesterday morning so she'd have time to get them up. But I praise God for Verna. She's got a lot on her plate. And so I want to say I thank you for what you do, Verna, for me. And so she got all my scriptures together. I sent them this morning. I felt bad, and I was like, but I did. So what is good? What is good, or living a good life? We like that saying, don't we? I want to live the good life. You know? We all want to have a good life, don't we? And some people, the good life means looking good. Now, I don't get that because it's hard for me to look good. I have to do all kinds of things to look good. I have to wear good, nice-looking shirts, and I have to wear the right pants. And here in America, you know, we've been taught that. That's what we do. We look good is serious business, right? And if you look at TV pastors, man, they got it down. You know, so I'm not trying to be that, you know. I mean, you got to have the skinny jeans, you know. I'm serious, or, you know, the $5,000 suit, you know, or whatever, you know. But you got to look good to be a pastor, you know. Anyway, you know, you got to have your colors coordinated right. And so you got to have your hair flipped just the right way. And sometimes we even go to the beauty salon and we get our hair fixed right, you know. But fashion is a big thing in America, and we do whatever it takes. We'll spend lots of money to look good, won't we? So, but does the Bible talk about goodness in that direction? We want to look good. We place a high premium on our good looks. But you know the problem with looking good? There's no universal standard for what looks good. Because everybody has a different opinion of what looks good. And not only here in America, but, you know, we have kind of a standard thing that the TV or the fashion industry wants to promote, right? They want to promote a certain thing that says this looks good, and we buy into it a lot. All over the world, there's different standards for what looks good. Some people think that the good life means feeling good. That may mean sitting in a hot tub sometimes. Man, that feels good, doesn't it? Going on vacation, that feels good. Having a good meal, that's always good. And I'm looking forward to that because I know we're going to have a good meal. Some people like just sitting down and reading a book. Man, they really enjoy that. I don't understand. I mean, I'm like, help me to understand that because, I mean, it's like, you know. I'm, you know, like 5 minutes into it and I'm not the only one. I fall asleep when I read too much. Just finding what feels good and doing it. I mean, there's so many things, fishing and hunting and I mean, I can name off thousands of things that we like that other people. But see, there's a variety of things of what good means, what feeling good is. Still, other people think that the good life means having goods. They set about acquiring stuff. The more stuff you got, the better you feel, you know. The good life is not based on looking good, feeling good, or having goods. God says that the good life is a life filled with goodness, but what exactly is that? In Genesis chapter 1, after God creates the universe, it says, God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning in the sixth day. Why was it good? You know, why was it good? Because it was exactly the way God intended it to be. It fulfilled the purpose for which it was created for. And so goodness means fulfilling a purpose. And it's being what God meant you to be. Amen? And God made you for a purpose. And when you live that way, God intends for you, you know, you live the way God intends for you to live, you'll be good in God's eyes. And your life will become meaningful, and you'll feel that you're doing what God intended you to do. And that's really what goodness is. What does God intend for you to do? Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. So go, you know, when we circle that word, I don't know if you have your Bibles open, but circle it in your head. For good works. That's what you're intended for. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now, we're not saved by our works. We're not saved by our good works. We are saved for good works. You get that? We're not saved by our works, but we're saved for good works. We're to do good works. The Christian lifestyle is to be a lifestyle of doing good. We're supposed to be a bunch of do-gooders. And living on the goodness of God. We sing that song. I love that song. The goodness of God. We are not naturally good, though. That's the big problem. That's the obstacle that we have to face. There's a problem. It is not our nature to be good. We were all born with a nature towards selfishness. We want to do what we want to do. We all like to have our way. We want it my way. I like it that way, right? Because it's my way. How many of you, I mean, I know there's a lot of parents in here. And let me ask you, did your kids ever tell a lie? Huh? All of us can answer yes, right? All of us will raise our hands on that. Did you teach them to lie? No. You didn't have to teach them to lie. Did you have to teach them how to do bad stuff? No. It just come natural to them. You had to teach them not to do bad stuff, right? Amen. You know, it comes really natural. And you see, it's not in our nature to do good. And I didn't have to teach my kids to be selfish. You know, their favorite word was mine. Mine, you know. And some of us still as adults, that's our favorite word. It's mine. You know, humans have an innate tendency to do wrong and to be selfish. We really do. And the Bible says all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. All. And the Old Testament puts it this way. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way in Isaiah 53:6. There's none of us who are naturally good. None of us. In fact, even Jesus made this statement in Mark 10:18. He said, no one is good except God alone. He said, no one is good except my Father who is in heaven. No one. And I know that may be a shock to some of you, but the truth is that a lot of times I have to confess I don't want to be good either. I don't. In fact, a lot of times, sometimes I would rather be unloving than loving. Sometimes I would rather I'd rather smart back at somebody when they smart off to me. That's what I, you know what, that's the first thing that comes to my mind a lot of times is like, and then I have to, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit's like, wait a second. You ever do that when you, that was a habit that my mom had, knocked the breath out of me when she, because we didn't wear seat belts back then very much. I'd stand up in the seat going down the road. They don't do that nowadays. Probably why I'm like I am. Bounce my head off the dashboard too many times. And then mom, you know, when she'd hit the brake, she'd bark like that. And then you're like, let me get back on my... I don't even know where I'm at. Yeah. You know, but sometimes, you know, even at that, sometimes I'm lazy. I'm telling you, because sometimes I would rather go do what I want to do, something else, than do what needs to be done. But that's naturally for me, so I have to fight with that. And I'll tell you, most people, the truth is, most people are a walking civil war. Inside, they're always at war with themselves because that they know that they should do, but they just don't do what they need to do. They just don't do it. Is there anyone else here like that this morning? I mean, the truth is, most people, you know, we just want to do wrong sometimes. And Paul had this problem too, I think, when he was addressing this situation. He said there in Romans 7, 19 and 20, he said, "For the good that I want, I do not do. For I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. Wretched man that I am. Who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. It's Christ working in us. It's the Holy Spirit now living in us, those who have received Christ, that keeps us from doing those wrong things and puts us on the path of doing good works, of being good. Because there's no way we can do it without Him. Ephesians 2:10 says that, but we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:13 says this, "It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." And then another translation in the Contemporary English Version says it this way, "God is working in you to make you willing and able to obey Him." Think about that. He's to make you willing and able. And that's the thing we have to understand. By God's grace and power, He is changing us all the time. And He's molding us into who He wants us to be. I want to change. Right? I want God to change me. That's my desire every day. God, help me today be better than what I was yesterday. Titus 3:1 says, "Be ready for every good deed." Are you ready to do good things? Excited about it. I can see it in your faces today. Just waiting. You know, oh, there's something good I can do. You know, I think there's some things that we have to do. If becoming ready for every good deed, I think we have to master our Bible first off. We have to become a student of God's Word and read the Bible and study the Bible and memorize the Bible and fill your mind with it and not fill your mind with all the garbage that's in this world. If you want to get rid of some of that garbage in the world, then start filling your mind and your soul full of the Word of God. And it will push out all that garbage. You've only got two sources from when you can gain knowledge. It's either the world or the Word. That's the only two places. The choice, though, is up to you and me. It's my choice what to watch on TV. It's my choice what books to read. It's my choice what movies to watch. You know, right? It's my choice. And it's my choice whether I want to, if I don't like to read that much, they have Audible. And you can listen to good books. And you can listen to the Bible. And you can watch those all kinds of things to watch that are good. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. There's that again. Every good work. So I challenge you to master the Bible if you want to do good. It's not enough to own a Bible. It's not enough. You got to read it. You got to use it. A Bible in your hand is worth two on the shelf. Come on, that's an old saying, right?
It is now.
It is now, right? You guys have heard that before, haven't you? No? Man, I did something new. Oh, I got to get through this. You know, I do read quite a bit. I read a lot, and you know, sometimes we just don't understand. And I'm going to tell you, you read your Bible, and it's okay if you don't understand it. God will help you to understand things when you need to understand it. Okay, He will. And Mark Twain said it as good as anybody. He said, it's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand. You know, and that affects us all, doesn't it? We read and we're like, oh, I don't want to read it. It hurts sometimes. Sometimes it's encouraging. Sometimes it's lifting and it's powerful. It's not always correction. Sometimes it is, though. But God is always teaching and mentoring us to mold us into where, to who He wants us to be, and He's always pushing us that direction. Guard your minds. Guard your minds. This world is so full of garbage. I mean, it seems like you can't get away from it. Everywhere you turn, there's garbage everywhere. Learn to control what goes inside your mind. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. Man, if you ponder on things, sin always starts in the mind, and Satan plants ideas, and we call those temptations, in your head. And if you nurture those, that's the thing. It's not that you won't be tempted. Jesus was tempted, but he used the Word of God to defeat Satan. He used the Word of God. And when you have the Word of God, and when you memorize the Scripture, if you nurture those temptations, at times they'll become reality in your life. And sin always starts in your mind, and so guard your minds. Sometimes things are not worth thinking about. Some things are not worth worrying about. And some things are not worth watching on TV either. Some things are not worth reading. Some things are not worth listening to. So guard your minds. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, repute. If there is any excellence, if any worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Dwell on those good things. We have to develop our convictions, though, and that's something we don't like to do. If you want to learn to do good, develop convictions and develop what you stand for. Do you know what you stand for in your life? Is there a line that you won't cross? Is there something that you'll fight for, in other words? It's been said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And that's especially true in this America's pluralistic society that we live in. And where everything is tolerated. And we talked about that on Wednesday night. We really got into a deep conversation about tolerance and intolerance. What's accepted and what's not accepted. Everything's tolerated except for intolerance. We love to appear open-minded, but the problem is that some people are so open-minded that their brains fall out. Really. I'll let that sink in for a minute. I mean, some people just accept everything. I mean, you think about what's going on in our society today. I think tomorrow I'm going to be a cat. I always wanted to be a cat. Can I be a cat tomorrow? That sounds insane, doesn't it? But there's people open-minded enough to think that somebody can do that. And see, I say that, but I say it we got to stand for something. Our convictions tell us that that's not right. An opinion is something you'll argue about, but a conviction is something that you'll suffer and die for. You hear me? Man, I stand for the Word of God. I stand for Jesus because that's what matters the most, right? The disciples stood for Jesus and they were willing to suffer and die for Him because no matter what, they weren't going to allow the world to change how they felt inside. Romans 12:9 says, "Hate what is evil and do only what is good." You know, that's pretty clear to me. But we're supposed to hate evil. We're supposed to love people, though. You can love people, but not like what they're doing. I love my kids. I love my kids even when they were not doing things right when they were little. I still love them. Didn't change how my love for them. So we have to love people, but we just have to hate the things that they do, the evil that they do. We got to dare to be different. We need to learn to be good, but you must have the courage to be different from your culture. I mean, that's what the church is challenged to do, is to be different from the culture. Do not be conformed to this world, but come out and be separated. Be different from the world. John, or 3 John 1:11 says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. And the one who does good is of God, and the one who does evil is not seeing God." I remember many stories in the Bible. I mean, you think about the three young Israelite men in Daniel, where King Nebuchadnezzar were. They threw them in the fiery furnace, and it's because they took a stand. They had the courage to stand for their convictions. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Romans 12:2. And the last thing I want to talk about is fellowship with other believers. We need to surround ourselves with good people in our lives, other believers who can help us be accountable. One quality of the early Christians was that they supported one another in every way. They met together regularly. They challenged and encouraged one another. And the author of Hebrews tells us, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." It says, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." Man, I love that. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as it is in the habit for some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hebrews 10, 23 and 25. I mean, I see a time coming as the end draws near that we as a church need to be encouraging each other. Our battle should never be with each other. We don't battle with flesh and blood. We battle with spiritual things. We need to be encouraging and lifting each other up in every way. And as we see the day approaching, and I see things going on all over the world, and I'm telling you, the church will be challenged. And are you ready for that challenge? God placed us here at this time for this purpose. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, one can overpower him who is alone. Two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. Such a good scripture. If we stand together, church, if we lift each other up, we are strong. If we pray together, fellowship together, we become stronger as a church. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there too, right? I'll be there. What happens when 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 gather together that are united, praying, fasting, seeking God in every way, doing good in the community, and doing good to each other? Galatians 6, 9 and 10 says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then while we have opportunity, while you have an opportunity in this life, right here, right now, today, tomorrow, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Let us love one another. And let us understand that, how do you live the good life this morning? That you know that by mastering the Bible and by guarding your mind and by developing your convictions, by having the courage to be different, and by meeting regularly with other Christians for support and encouragement. And that's what it's all about. If you can do that, I guarantee you, you'll be a better person. But it'll be because of Him. Our goodness comes from Him and Him alone. Amen. Pray for each other. Encourage one another. If God places somebody on your heart, give them a call. Love on them. Pray for Doris and Joyce and my mom and dad and Phyllis. Pray for Ed. Ed's wore out. Pray for Verna, her mom and dad, so many others. I could just keep naming, can't I? Pray for each other. Lift each other up. Make somebody a pie. Cherry's my favorite. No, I'm joking. I like raisin too. Anyway, I love you guys. Let's go eat together. Fellowship together. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You. Lord, I thank You for this great group of people that You've put in my life. Lord, I pray that I am an encouragement to them as they sure are an encouragement to me. So, Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit abound in our lives. Lord, help us to be the good people that You would desire us to be, doing the good works that You've called us to do. Lord, You put us here at this time for a purpose. And Lord, that's to spread the gospel to this dark world that we live in. So Lord, help us to do that. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.